Radio Prague News.
Czech officials have congratulated Barack Obama on his election victory. The Deputy Prime Minister for European Affairs has said he wants to stage Barack Obama's first meeting with EU leaders in Prague next spring. And Czech car maker Škoda Auto is cutting production again because of lower demand caused by the global financial crisis. Czech officials have congratulated Barack Obama on his election victory. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek said Barack Obama had run an inspirational campaign and raised the hopes of millions of people, not just in the United States, but around the world. There are many pressing challenges facing the international community, including the global financial crisis and climate change, and it will be interesting to see how President-elect Obama and his team tackle these issues, the Czech Prime Minister said. Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek welcomed Barack Obama's election victory, saying America had made a historic choice and Mr. Obama represented hope not just for the United States, but for the whole world. Czech President Václav Klaus also congratulated Mr. Obama on his election victory and invited the president-elect on an official visit to Prague. In related news, Deputy Prime Minister for European Affairs Alexander Vondra has said that he wants to stage Barack Obama's first meeting with EU leaders in Prague in the spring. As of January the 1st, the Czechs take over at the head of the European Union, and so the first EU-American summit will fall during the Czechs' presidency. On Wednesday, Mr. Vondra did not specify when exactly he hoped to hold the meeting, but did suggest that it should coincide with the NATO summit to take place in Strasbourg early next year. Top Czech car maker Škoda Auto said on Tuesday that it would cut production again in November and December because of lower demand caused by the global financial crisis. Spokesman Jaroslav Černý said the shutdowns would reduce Škoda's output by another 18,000 cars, in addition to the 13,000 cut in September and October. Škoda Auto last week announced a 24.7% drop in net profit for January to September, with revenue down 2.2%. The Interior Ministry is seeking to outlaw the far-right Workers' Party, a ministry spokesperson said on Wednesday. Václav Henich confirmed that the Interior Ministry will ask the country's Supreme Administrative Court to rule on the legality of the political party. The Workers' Party has made headlines recently for forming its own vigilante patrols of areas predominantly populated by the Czech Republic's Roma minority. A spokesperson for the party said that he'd been aware of the ministry's attempts to outlaw the organisation for a while, and that he hoped the Supreme Administrative Court would rule in the party's favour. A quick look at the weather now, and it's set to remain warm over the next couple of days, with temperatures ranging from 15 to 19 degrees Celsius. Expect cloudy skies and the occasional rain shower. I'm Rosie Johnston, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Rob Cameron. Coming up in today's programme, Yes, We Can, as America elects its first black president. We get a taste of how Americans in Prague watch the political drama unfold in the United States.
I'm kind of thinking the worst, but hoping for the best. So I don't know, because based on prior experience, I think the worst could happen, which would be McCain winning. I want Obama to win.
So, the start of a new era in Washington. But what does Barack Obama's historic election victory mean for America's controversial missile defense shield in Central Europe? Also today, Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek admits the Czech Republic will not, after all, be able to ratify the Lisbon Treaty by the end of the year. And did restorers do a bad job of renovating Prague's most famous historic landmark, Charles Bridge? All that and more in today's program. Stay tuned. The whole world was watching on Tuesday night as American voters cast their ballots in one of the most exciting US presidential campaigns in history. Several election night parties were held here in the Czech capital Prague, and our very own Jan Richter was up all night sampling the atmosphere in the two rival camps.
It was just before 10 o'clock at night when at the residence of the American ambassador in Prague, the first of several election events held around the Czech capital was coming to an end. Most of the guests supported Barack Obama and believed that in the end he would become the next president of the United States. But Ambassador Richard Graber, formerly an important Republican politician in his home state of Wisconsin, believed the election's momentum might still change in John McCain's favor.
All of the polls seem to indicate that Senator Obama is the likely winner here, but that's why the American people go to the polls. That's why people vote. This has been a very unpredictable year in lots of ways. I think it's been the most unique campaign in American history. I think we just have to see what happens over the next few hours.
Are you going to stay up until the first results come later tonight?
Well, the polls close on the East Coast about 1 in the morning here. And, of course, in the West Coast, it'll be 3 hours later than that, 3 or 4 hours later than that. So I think I'll probably get some sleep and get up in the morning and go online and start trying to figure things out.
2 hours later, another election night party was in full swing in a cafe on Prague's Kampa Island, organized by Czech supporters of the planned U.S. radar base in the Czech Republic. This group believed John McCain to be the better option from the Czech point of view, which was probably the reason why so few Americans showed up. David Gajdoška, one of the organizers, explains why the election is so important.
It has big influence on U.S. international politics, and it will influence the topics that are related closely to us. For example, Mr. McCain, in the beginning of the campaign, he supported the idea of radar base that is supposed to be built in the Czech Republic. Mr. Obama was waiting a little bit, but then he supported it as well. So this is one theme that we were watching, and me and Martin, that's owner of this cafe, we were supporting this idea. So it kind of came out naturally.
So who are you hoping that will become the next American president?
I'm sure that my American friends maybe have different opinions, but I was hoping for John McCain because I think he's a stronger candidate for the international politics and for the negotiation with Russia or like Middle East countries. And I feel this is important.
For many American expats, the main headquarters on election night was the Golden Star Bar just off Wenceslas Square. Here, Barack Obama enjoyed literally unanimous support from the crowd. His fans barely took their eyes off the TV screens, and when the first results started coming in at 1 a.m. indicating John McCain's slight lead, they grew visibly nervous, but were still hoping for the best.
I think that what they're showing so far is a really small percentage of the voting that's been done. And I don't think that there's any chance McCain's going to be the president.
I hope the best man will win. I hope that Barack Obama.
I'm kind of thinking the worst, but hoping for the best. So I don't know, because based on prior experience, I think the worst could happen, which would be McCain winning. I want Obama to win.
Just after 5 a.m., the election results from California arrived, sealing Barack Obama's victory, and the crowd burst into cheers. The long election night was over.
Jan Richter there with a flavour of how Americans, and indeed Czechs, watch the drama unfold here in Prague. Not surprisingly, there's already been official reaction from the Czech Republic. Barack Obama has been congratulated by President Václav Klaus, opposition Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek, and also Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek. Mr. Topolánek, who's currently on a visit to Poland, was asked by Czech television how Czech-American relations would be affected by the change in the White House.
It always depends on what kind of U.S. president we have, whether he shares the same values. And in this sense, I have absolutely no fears at all. I'm also interested as to whether there will be a change in American foreign policy or not. I believe there will not, but this is a matter for the months to come.
Now, everyone in Europe has watched this election with particular interest, of course, but the Czech Republic and Poland perhaps have more at stake here than anywhere else. The governments of the two countries have signed agreements with the Bush administration to let the Americans place elements of the controversial missile defense shield on their territory, a battery of interceptor missiles in Poland and a tracking radar in the Czech Republic, about 70 kilometers southwest of Prague. Neither Poland nor the Czech Republic has ratified the plan in Parliament. There's opposition in both countries, and the political situation in the Czech Republic is particularly difficult. What President-elect Obama says about missile defence is therefore hugely significant, both to opponents and supporters of the plan. So what's he said so far? Well, this is Barack Obama pledging to cut military spending in a campaign ad earlier this year.
Second, I will cut tens of billions of dollars in wasteful spending. I will cut investments in unproven missile defense systems. I will not weaponize space.
But that seemed to fit the Democratic Party line, which has criticized President Bush's plans to expand the shield into Central Europe, and Congress's Democrat-controlled Armed Services Committee has indeed slashed spending on missile defense. Then came August and the brief war between Russia and Georgia. Russia, of course, has threatened to target the Czech Republic and Poland if they let the US build the shield here. In September, Barack Obama was interviewed on the conservative Bill O'Reilly show on Fox News, where he seemed to be changing his mind.
Given what has happened in Georgia, I think that we have to send a clear signal that Poland and other countries in that region are not going to be subject to intimidation and aggression.
Okay,
and
so I just want to get this on a record. You're elected president, you're keeping the missile shield in Poland.
I believe that the missile shield is appropriate. I want to make sure it works, though. I want to make sure it works,
which is
one of the problems that we've got.
I want to make sure it works, and that's the key phrase. Supporters of missile defense here in the Czech Republic seized on those comments as evidence Obama would not halt the project. But Congress, which now has their man in the White House and a noted missile defense skeptic, Joe Biden, by his side, says it will not release large sums of money for missile defense until the Pentagon has proven with real working prototypes that it does indeed work. Now, turning to other news, it seems the Czech Republic will not, after all, ratify the Lisbon Treaty before it takes over the rotating presidency of the European Union in just 8 weeks' time. Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek, who only a fortnight ago gave assurances that Prague would ratify the document by January the 1st, now says Parliament will not vote on it until next year. Ian Willoughby reports.
Just 2 weeks ago, Czech Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek assured his German counterpart Angela Merkel that Prague would ratify the EU's Lisbon Treaty by the end of this year. That is, before the first-ever Czech presidency of the bloc gets underway. On Tuesday, however, Mr. Topolánek said the reform document would not now go before the Czech Parliament until next year. A major task of the Czech EU presidency will be dealing with Ireland's rejection of Lisbon. And he admitted it would be unpleasant to hold negotiations with Dublin on the subject when the Czechs themselves haven't given the Charter the green light. The Prime Minister blamed the hold-up on external factors, for which read Czech President Václav Klaus, a fierce opponent of Lisbon. On his request, the Constitutional Court has postponed by 2 weeks a ruling on whether the treaty is in line with the Czech Constitution. Mr. Klaus says he wants to be present in person when the court announces its ruling, and the later date means there's not enough time this year for the required debate. The Czech president will be on a long-planned official state visit to Ireland on November 10th, the date the verdict was originally due. The Irish Times reported on Wednesday that the Irish government had complained to the Czech embassy in Dublin about Mr. Klaus's plans to hold a meeting next week with an anti-Lisbon ally, Declan Ganley. He's the man who led the No campaign in Ireland earlier this year. When the Czech Parliament does vote on ratification in the first 3 months of 2009, it appears it'll be tied to another vote on whether to allow the building of a controversial US radar base in central Bohemia. Prime Minister Topolánek, whose government and own position are both rather shaky, is hoping that delivering approval for the radar will persuade his fractious civic democrats to raise their hands for Lisbon. Not that the Czech leader himself has any affection for it. In an interview this week, he described the treaty as bad, but said having to accept it was a tolerable price for EU membership.
Ian Willoughby with that report on a stall in moves to ratify the EU's Lisbon Treaty. Charles Bridge, Prague's most famous historic landmark, has been undergoing major reconstruction work since August, after recently celebrating its 650th anniversary. However, the Czech Culture Ministry's heritage inspection team has come to a shocking conclusion. The ongoing repairs have done the bridge more harm than good. Ruth Frankova has this report.
Charles Bridge was last repaired in the second half of the 20th century, and since then people, traffic, floods, as well as excessive use of salt to melt the snow in winter have all left their mark. Extensive reconstruction work on it started this summer, and its first phase is scheduled to be completed in 2010. Workers have been laying a new insulation, stabilizing pillars, and replacing damaged sandstone ashlars along the entire bridge. It is the replacement of the stone blocks that has proven to be one of the main problems in the reconstruction. Jiří Varhaník from the Culture Ministry.
The harm that was done could be divided into two areas. Some of the mistakes were made in the stage of preparation. Other damage, which is more visible, was done during the reconstruction itself. And it concerns the replacement of sandstone ashlars in the sidewalls of the bridge. The stone blocks were machine-carved, so they don't have the right size and they don't correspond with the original ones.
Given the gravity of the inspection team's report, the most important question is whether the harm can be undone. Jiří Varhaník again.
It depends. Certain damages are irreparable because some of the original ashlars that were replaced are gone. But of course, some of these stone blocks can be chiseled again and relaid. That, however, is a subject for further debates.
The inspection's findings have sparked a major row over Prague's most famous historic landmark. Prague City Hall has issued a statement saying that it strongly disagrees with the ministry's conclusions and that the reconstruction of Charles Bridge had been planned in great detail under the supervision of several expert commissions and was being fully adhered to. City Hall is expected to post a response to the criticism made on its webpage within 48 hours. Either way, it seems that more experts will have to be called in to ascertain the quality of the reconstruction work and alleviate the concerns that the Culture Ministry's report has raised.
Ruth Frankova reporting there. Don't forget, if you have anything to say about these stories, whether it's Barack Obama, missile defence, or indeed Charles Bridge, do get in touch. Our email address is english@radio.cz. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's time now for this week's Czechs Today with Jan Wellinger.
When most people think of games, they think of video games, of young kids or adults lining up for the latest title for their Xbox or PlayStation or PC. But increasingly in the Czech Republic and other parts of Europe, the pastime of board gaming, yes, board gaming, has found increasing audiences. You may be wondering, what, if you're new to board games? But the truth is, there's a world of designs and titles out there beyond classics like Risk and Monopoly. It all started back in the mid-1990s, with Settlers of Catan, a German game which went a long way in reinvigorating the hobby. Here in the Czech Republic, it's one that's caught on. Jakub Těšinský, one of the founders of an association known as Czech Board Games, has been involved in all aspects of the hobby, from promotion to design, for the last 12 years. He explains how far board gaming in the Czech Republic has come.
Settlers of Catan had a big influence in Czech Republic as well. It was one of the first big modern games in Czech Republic, promoted by now almost forgotten Warlord, and it was taken over by Albi later on, and until today we have a Czech championship in Settlers of Catan, which is quite unusual for modern games. Of course, there are championships like in chess, but for modern games it's quite unusual. It changes, and a few years ago people would react, oh yes, chess, draws, etc. And I think today they already know that there is something different. At least I have a feeling that everybody in Czech Republic now at least knows somebody who played one board game, which is a big change.
Says Jakub Kieszynski, the obvious reason for a new interest in strategic board games is not only better promotion, but most importantly, the availability of better titles. Games today task players with doing more than simply rolling a die, moving a pawn, or counting their paper money. And that's something I confirmed in Prague with Rafael and Christina Savron, a Czech-Italian couple here who regularly play games when they're not pursuing jiu-jitsu, fencing, and other hobbies. Here's why.
I love board games. For me, it's the best because you are with friends. Normally, or usually, you play the board game with friends. So you are in contact with them. You can drink wine with them. Or...
It's true.
For me, it's to have contact with friends.
You have to plan everything. You have to think your strategy. And you have to try to win. And you interact with your friends. It's not like when you play in the PC with other people in the other places. You are screaming, you have emotions, so it's not as when you play in a computer, in a PlayStation.
Ale já to dobře jet, jo? Když se nám dostane, tak jezdí. A když jsou dvě
kostky. A když ty tam můžeš taky jet, ale s mým svolením.
Many games now mix long-term strategic planning with tactical moves, while themes can range from the serious to the silly. You can play a band of brash adventurers fighting wimpy dragons and then squabbling over treasure, such as in Dragon's Gold by French designer Bruno Faidutti. Or you can run a two-hour version of the 1960 presidential campaign between Kennedy and Nixon in the acclaimed 1960 The Making of the President, designed by Jason Matthews and Christian Leonard. Game authors are now listed on the box, and some names, like Mr. Faidutti's and others, are known to game geeks everywhere, the way others recognize famous writers or filmmakers. Jakub Kieszynski adds there are many games to choose from.
I like to compare it with books, because there is a wide range of games. You have games which can serve as entertainment very well, but then if you want to go deeper, or you have some special needs, like you need... To have fun at your party, or maybe you want to spend some time with your family with something, you know, more social than maybe computers, then you are looking for some special type of games. There are genres in board games, and games nicely cover many of these needs.
Where does that leave the Czech Republic? Mr. Kieszynski and other games organizers became convinced a number of years ago there was talent here that was being missed. They founded Czech Board Games with the aim of promoting new authors and new prototypes. They were successful indeed with one of their first projects in 2006, a fairly complex game called Through the Ages.
Through the Ages is a wonderful game, which I would call strategic. It's a quite complex game, far better than its predecessor, Civilization by Sid Meier. And yeah, it was a great success because the game is great. It received several prizes, and it's now published by Fred Production in the United States and Pegasus Spiele in Europe.
The title was designed by Vladimír Kvákil, arguably the best-known Czech games designer, whose projects often draw on different areas for inspiration, from fantasy to science fiction. His games demand by turns, clever timing, clever resource management, and clever tactical positioning. He just got back from Essenspiel, the massive October Games Fair in Essen, Germany, visited every year by some 250,000. There he presented Space Alert, a new title due out in the coming weeks in both English and Czech, in which players scramble to save their spaceships from imminent destruction. On Wednesday I spoke to the designer by phone to Brno and asked him how things had gone.
On je to něco dost novýho, dost jinýho než ostatní, než ty běžné hry.
We were very happy with the feedback we were given. The game is pretty unusual in that players must cooperate together against the system within a limited time frame. In cooperative games, the problem is often that one or two personalities dominate others. That's different in Space Alert. No one person, no matter how forceful, can solve all the tasks. So players really have to depend on each other and show a lot of trust. And that's different, and that's something the players seem to appreciate.
Tohle se lidem hodně líbí, protože na to nejsou zvyklí.
Mr. Kvakil agrees back in the Czech Republic, gaming is continuing to increase in popularity, not only among hardcore players, but also among a much broader audience, that is, families. Not only are Czech editions of German, French, and American titles now readily available thanks to a number of local successful distributors, some cities, including Prague, also feature specialty stores. While there's no question in the future that board games will remain an undiscovered country for many, those who have broken into the hobby, like Raphael and Christina, who we spoke with earlier, know what the others are missing. In short, board gaming, here as abroad, has come a long way.
Jan Wellinger with that edition of Czechs Today, bringing us to the end of today's program. And don't forget, you can hear all of that again online. The address is www.radio.cz. I'm Rob Cameron. I hope you've enjoyed this show. Do join us again soon. Goodbye.